glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, October 31st. 2024. I'm your friend Donna Leland. We're going to take you back to the 1930s and a missionary couple named John and Betty Stamm. Maybe you remember their story. We're talking today with their great-grandnephew, Andrew Montanera, who has just connected with their story and has written a book by Moody Publishers. It's called By Life or By Death. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Andrew.
Thank you, Donna, for having me.
Now, this book is really personal to you in a number of ways. How did you come to write it?
I started this book 3 years ago, just kind of rediscovering the story of the Stamms and my own personal family connection to them. Kind of a journey of rediscovery, as I like to say. And with Cornelius Stamm, John's younger brother, being one of my great-grandfathers, I just wanted to know a little bit more about that family history, that side of the family, and what it was like during that time. And just hearing these stories growing up, kind of rekindling that.
You kind of stumbled upon this. It was in a cabinet of books in your grandparents' house. How exciting was that?
I stumbled upon these books my grandmother had showed me as a young boy. She opened the cover one day, and inside was... it was stamped Rescued from the Loot, and there was a signature of John and then a signature of Cornelius Stamm, who was one of my great-grandfathers. Seeing that as a young boy, it really got me interested in what's the story behind these? How did our family come into possession of them, and who was John Stamm?
Now, for those who really aren't familiar with their story, now I've always loved their story. Being associated with the Moody Bible Institute, they were really heroes of the faith. But for people who aren't familiar, give us their overall story.
Well, John and Betty Stamm were two young missionaries who served with China Inland Mission. They both grew up in different parts of the world. John was from Paterson, New Jersey, and Betty was born in Michigan but raised in China until coming back to the States for college. And they met at Moody Bible Institute in 1929. Betty was a year ahead of John, and they eventually kind of rekindled their relationship in China and eventually got married. The thing they're most famous for is their martyrdom. So they were captured in the middle of the Chinese Civil War in December of 34, and both beheaded 2 days later after their capture. Their story had a real big impact on 20th century evangelicalism, influenced a lot of different people, and it really changed the way global missions was perceived on a national scale because of how much coverage their story got.
What were some of the changes that took place?
The changes in terms of...
the way we saw missions.
The impact, and we saw missions, sure. It had never, their death and also the story behind the interest in their three-month-old daughter, Helen, who survived all of it, it had never been captured on a national scale in news before. So their story was published in newspaper in every single state in the country, in multiple countries, especially Europe and I know Africa got a lot of attention too, and on the radio as well. Their story received radio coverage, which at the time was just kind of a up-and-coming medium for news. And so that had never, up to that point in December 1934, happened before on such a national interest in missionaries.
And I bet people felt like, I want to go and replace them. You know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So I'm sure that sparked an interest as well in taking up their mantle and replacing them on the field. So you mentioned their young daughter What can you tell us about her?
Well, she was rescued by a missionary friend who was also a missionary friend of John and Betty's, Pastor Lowe. So he found her about 30 hours after she was left behind by her parents. The reasons why she wasn't taken, or we don't really know. She was rescued and eventually brought back to the States a few years after.
She's lived a very quiet life. I did try to get a hold of her maybe 10 years ago and ask if she'd be interested in an interview, and she just really desires to lead a very private life. So you were going through these books, and were you discovering some new information that hadn't been previously revealed about John and Betty, and what would that be?
The majority of material about the Stams that's archived is actually at Wheaton College. And what's great is, being in the Chicago area, I was able to take trips down to Wheaton and go through. They have the majority of John's letters that he wrote while in China. They have one of his diaries and several photographs. Going through my own family stuff, we were able to find some new things. I discovered were details behind the Stam family history, that some documents my family had inherited from Cornelius that were just kind of passed along through relatives, about the history of kind of the Stam family growing up, especially in the Patterson area. Some things that I never knew, especially about like Peter Stam. There's a Stam's Alley actually in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Mm. And it was actually, this is a street, and it's named after, because Peter Stam, John's father, had a very successful lumber business, and he had built about 100 different homes in that area. So there's actually a Stam's Alley in New Jersey.
Wow.
Which I thought was very fascinating.
It is.
Some other small details, I mean, regarding Helen's rescue, I tried to make that as precise as possible in terms of the events and days that those happened. When readers see the book, they'll see these various photographs, which I was able to actually date and caption who these people were and what their relation to the story is in her rescue, which I thought was very, very just wonderful. Mm-hmm. To be able to do that and preserve that, especially these photos. So definitely the photos and other small pieces. There's new testimonies in the book by some of those who have been impacted by John and Betty. So different people like the Graham family and Erwin Lutzer and Cheryl Broderson, who's Chuck Smith's youngest daughter, they gave me quotes about how that the Stams impacted them, which I was very grateful for, because I wanted to bring something new for readers today who might not even know anything about this story, that so many people just in the 20th century were impacted by their story. So I really wanted to bring that to light and be able to preserve those new testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Stam family, of which you are a part of, so are they have a legacy of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Going back generations.
And, correct. Yeah. It's amazing to me to see, to just have all these different connections to people. Those who I've talked to, other relatives, even though we're so distantly related and so far from this story now, we're 90 years, which is kind of incredible to think about. That spiritual heritage is all part of us and our stories.
So many things have changed, but many things have not. And that's still China's relationship to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They did that to John and Betty during an upheaval in their history. And yet they continue to hang on to that ancient way of treating a belief system. Do you see any influence of John and Betty currently in China? Do we get any stories coming out of China as to their legacy?
I don't go too much in the book about China today. For those who know the country, I mean, it's still a very just anti-Christian,
yeah,
and believer just population. There are a lot of believers there. They're just
they can't publicly speak out about their faith. There is a really incredible story in the last chapter of the book, though, about a man who actually witnessed, or as a boy, he was a boy at the time, he was a 15-year-old boy. He ended up coming to Christ at the age of 90 in 2009, 75 years after he had witnessed John and Betty's murder.
Mm.
So there's something there, and I tie in because that whole that story connects. The foreword of the book was written by Hudson Taylor IV, who is one of the great-great-grandsons of Hudson Taylor, who founded China Inland Mission, and he ties into the story of that same believer and on a trip to China in the mid-2000s. Their impact, they're still, I believe John and Betty are still very well known in China to believers. Even today, though, in America, people know the name John and Betty, but they don't know maybe the finer details of their story. And that's what I really want to try and bring out in this book is some of these really small details that are just so interesting or connections. And in the book, there's several of John and Betty's own writings, some of which have never been published before. So the reader gets to hear their story from them in a way.
Yeah.
And their own testimony growing up in kind of a narrative.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get the name of your book?
Well, By Life or By Death is taken from Philippians 1:20, and that's John Stamm's letter when he was captured on December 6th, 1934. He wrote at the end of his letter, "The Lord bless and guide you, and as for us, may God be glorified whether by life or by death." And I just thought it was such a good way to title the book because John meant that. He didn't know whether they were going to live through this circumstance of being captured and what those hours or days would lead to. So I took it directly from that letter, which is from Scripture.
Yeah, I have a personal connection with that whole era. Earl and Sophie Peterson, they were friends of ours. We went to church with them, and I met them when they were in their 90s, but they had met at the Moody Bible Institute. I mean, their stories are so similar to John and Betty. Incredible. She had been a missionary kid in China. I bet they would even know each other. And so they both went back to China. They were ministering, and they got chased out by the Red Army. They had four kids. They had to hide in marshes, breathing through straws and reeds in order to escape. So, yeah, I love the whole, you know, vibe of it. And interesting enough, her dad went into a village, and they'd never really met a Christian before, and they wanted to kill him, but he had already ministered to this one woman and washed her eyes and allowed her to see again. So she protected him, fed him. And eventually, the villagers began to understand he was there for good. And Mr. Toonstra was his name. And one day, he was on death's doorstep. And I guess during that time, they wouldn't let anyone butcher meat. They were controlling it. But his wife went out and began to pray. And above her were two birds that were fighting. And the meat dropped. And he was able to live another day because of God's miraculous provision there. But then Sophie never was able to go back because it was closed, you know, and so she gave a testimony at our church. I took that recording, and at that time, an opening had happened in China. And so they took the little cassette, and they were able to play it for people who knew her dad and had a legacy, and they even still had his chair that he would preach in, that was still set up in his honor. So it was a beautiful full circle. So God is on the move. He's not limited by communist countries. He's not limited by the death of those who are trying to reach out. And he's interested, isn't he, in keeping his word going forward, even in hard places.
The first book about John and Betty was called The Triumph of John and Betty Stamm. And a lot of people, I think today, critics might kind of flock at that title, but it, for believers, you know, that still rings true today. You never know what impact people are going to have, especially laying down your life.
It's a hard thing, something most of us will never have to face. But in that, there's a lot of truth. And I am grateful that Christianity is flourishing within China today and in other parts of Asia, especially, that are just so closed off to the gospel.
So how has the writing of this book impacted your own faith?
I'm still trying to take it in.
I would imagine.
It's such a... Because it is kind of personal. I tell my whole upbringing, and it's impacted my own immediate family especially. But I think writing and researching and just the whole process has really made me rethink what I do with my daily life, especially getting into scripture and wanting to memorize those passages so I know the truth, the word of God. That's probably the impact it's had on me the most.
I know, I think about that. If I was called to deny Christ or, you know, lose my life, I just, you know, I pray in that moment we would have the strength, because you don't know how you're going to respond. But I do know, you know, to honor Christ in that way has really sent a ripple into the hearts of so many that John and Betty touched. We've been talking with Andrew Montanera. He is the author of By Life or By Death, The Life and Legacy of John and Betty Stamm, published by Moody Publishers. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for sharing your family's legacy with us today on Mark and Friends.
My ultimate hope for this book is that readers can either discover or rediscover John and Betty Stamm's testimony. I think there's so much for this generation to, especially because as being in my mid-20s, I think my generation and the generation after me is looking for something to hang on to be called to. And I think there's a lot of truth in the Stamm's words and in their life example. So that's what I ultimately hope that people take away from this story. And for those who do know the story, that they can rediscover it and benefit from the testimonies that are shared in it.
Dreams have come and gone, and and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow.
Giving thanks today on Mark and Friends for those who have given their life for the gospel. John and Betty Stamm, a very well-known story heard around the world during their time. And yet there are so many stories that we won't know about until we get to the other side in heaven. And I'm going to trust the Lord to allow us to hear some of those stories of standing firm for the gospel of Christ. Well, we get to hear a few of the stories through an organization called Voice of the Martyr. And if you ever want to be just thrilled with steadfast Christians around the world, right now and in today's world, especially in those hard-to-reach countries, you should check out Voice of the Martyrs. It's a wonderful read and very inspirational. I'm your friend, Donna Leland. Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.